Archery deer.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. On page 11, I want to talk with you about a couple items related to the archery deer season. Kind of a two-pronged approach here, I guess, with recommendations. Recommended change number one and two are in regards to La Creek National Wildlife Refuge down in Bennett County, and then Sand Lake National Wildlife Refuge up in Brown County. The La Creek change there is just a cleanup from rule back a couple years ago when we had made an adjustment to the start of the archery deer season from, I believe it was the fourth Saturday of September to September 1. That was one thing that fell through the cracks, I guess, in regards to cleaning up and rule. John Canta and his regional staff have contacted La Creek. They are in support of obviously aligning their season dates with our statewide season dates. So a recommendation here to make that change for La Creek. The second change there is for Sand Lake. They as well would like to align their archery deer season with the statewide season. In fact, I believe there is a member from Jay Peterson, the refuge staff manager from Sand Lake, is here if there are any questions in regards to Sand Lake, but they as well would like to align their season dates and provide that opportunity with our statewide season. So that would address recommended changes one and two. Recommended changes three and four kind of go together. So in regards to archery deer hunting and some of the opportunities to utilize archery deer hunters as a tool in relation to urban deer management, and we deal with a fair amount of urban deer issues with various municipalities across the state. Predominantly that's occurring within the Black Hills, within those communities there. We have also worked with the city of Pierre on some deer issues in the past. In the city of Sioux Falls, and now I know our Region 4 staff have been having communication with the city of Aberdeen to talk about the issues they're having with deer, and you know, whether it's the encroachment of urban development into rural deer habitat or deer attracted to the urban settings for whatever reason. It is an issue. It is a management topic that can take some considerable amount of time, not only from those city governments, but also in working with our staff and working with Secretary Hepler to issue kill permits and to manage those kill permits and getting those deer processed through the Sportsmen's Against Hunger program. It can be a management workload, and I applaud our field staff for bringing this recommendation to our CRD group meeting to talk about regulations. And the thought here was to, in particular with those cities where we've established those relationships with them, maybe even helped write urban deer management plans or put in ordinances for specific municipalities. They would like to work with us and offer archery deer hunting opportunities within those cities listed here on this action sheet. So recommended change number three would essentially be to establish a new type of antlerless deer license in addition to what we already have available. For an antlerless archery deer hunter in the state, they are allowed one antlerless white-tailed deer license that is valid in that LM1 unit. The change here would be, in addition to those unlimited number of antlerless whitetail, is to establish a license type for in any antlerless deer, and we're recommending any antlerless deer, in particular when you look at the Black Hills and some of those cities we're working with. Not only is it whitetail deer, but mule deer as well, so we need to have a tag type that's appropriate for the harvest of those two species of deer. We would like to put in rule where no more than 500 single tag of those antlerless any deer licenses would be made available. I don't envision us utilizing or issuing all 500 of those this year. We'll probably ease into this. I believe between now and at finalization, we'd work closely with those cities, if this is adopted as a proposal, to try to determine the appropriate number of licenses that we think is appropriate, and for them to manage hunters within those cities. It would be at the same price as an annual whitetail license, so no difference there in pricing. And you can see change number four there would be to essentially establish hunting units that would be specific towards those cities listed there, which is the city of Custer, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Sturgis. Those are the cities right now that have an interest in working with our department on this to implement and utilize archery deer hunters to manage some of those urban deer issues. So just looking over my notes here, I think with that, that's about all I have right now. So I'd certainly try to answer any questions or hear comments from the commission. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Spring.
On the resident, non-resident on hunting in these cities, is this price the same?
Through the chair. Commissioner Spring, if I remember right, these would be limited to resident only. Yeah, these 500 licenses would be, are you talking about the new 500 licenses for these municipality units, Commissioner Spring?
It mentions here about resident and non-resident, and I'm just wondering if the non-resident paid a higher price or not, or if they were the same price.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Spring, there are price differences for a resident and a non-resident license. I don't have those off the top of my head right now, but they are not the same. Mr. Chair, just to follow up, these new 500 licenses would be available to residents only. Not that we have anything against non-residents, but we're trying to work with the cities to reduce deer densities, and we feel it's probably the most appropriate and efficient way to utilize it would be resident hunters. So
that's gonna make, never mind. Because could you come from one city and go to the other city?
No.
Any other questions, or Commissioner Bees?
Commissioner Bees here. How many mule deer does are taken by archery? You know, antlers.
Can I phone a friend here quick?
Sure.
I think
down to one.
Might ask for Andy Lindblom maybe to come up and help me answer that question.
Andy Lindblom here, senior big game biologist. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Bees. Yeah, that's my mind's on elk right now, but on average we harvest about 1,000 mule deer does across the state. About 60% of them are usually from youth deer hunters, and the other 40%, so usually on 400 or 500, are from those folks that have any deer tag and choose to shoot antlerless mule deer. So that'd be a combination of firearm hunters and archery hunters.
So that's throughout all the seasons. So when we have a species that is highly sought after and it's on the decline, why are we still harvesting mealy does?
Yeah, that's a good question. Right now we do not have any antlerless archery licenses, any antlerless deer licenses available.
There is
none. Nope, but we do have still on the books, and this is something we discuss every year. We still have a license that allows the harvest of any deer, which could be an antlerless animal if they so choose.
I know there's some areas, you know, that are more populated with muleys, and but there's a lot of areas that we have that or the numbers are way down, and it's just my belief that we should not be harvesting muley does till our population comes back that we need.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is something we continually discuss every time we bring up deer recommendations. And overall, in the big picture, we're harvesting about 1,000 antlerless mule deer across the state. In the big picture, it doesn't really affect our overall growth. But without a doubt, there could be some areas where we don't want that harvest, and it's whether or not we want to remove the opportunity either from the youth hunters or we want to change the license type that right now is an any deer license, if we wanted to change that to like an any buck type of license. So definitely those are options for consideration.
Thank you. Commissioner Sharp. Oh, sorry.
I'd like to back up Commissioner Beese on the mule deer deal. I think that when it comes to youth or whatever, getting white-tailed does would be just as easy. And there's many areas that the mule deer population has completed and plumb disappeared in western South Dakota. In the area where I live, there's areas that used to be prominent with mule deer, and there just isn't any left. And I blame it on the any deer tag. It's just cleaned them out, especially in the walk-in areas and the public hunting areas of state land.
Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp, thank you. I look forward to the discussion we're going to have on mule deer doe. So my question on this deer plan, Chad, would be, does this have the potential to take a cost center and turn it into a revenue producer with these urban tags?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Sharp, I think I tried to address that on the second page where financial considerations, I think if that's what you're getting at, I mean, I would look at this as a really no significant financial benefit to the department from revenue coming in from licenses. Yeah, there will be 500 licenses here that we could potentially sell, but I guess I think staff look at it just from a more efficient use of how our time could be utilized and utilize archery deer hunters to help these cities that want to partner with us in establishing a unit and whatnot. Additional income, yes. Significant, I would say no.
Mr. Chair, it's certainly not significant in the scheme of our overall budget. But am I wrong in thinking that there is a cost? There has been a cost historically to removing deer from urban areas for the department.
Mr. Chair, I might have to phone a friend again because I'm not all that familiar with how involved our staff are in actually helping cull deer from these municipalities or these city areas. But I know there is time in administering kill permits or other things associated with that. I mean, obviously there is some staff time, and it looks like Keith is here to help me out here.
And I'm not trying to get too far into the weeds and get down to a dollar amount. I just, you know, I'm trying to look for trends on how we mitigate some of the costs for the department. So,
are you using your second helpline now?
One left. Mr. Chair, Keith Fisk, I'm the Wildlife Damage Program Administrator. Commissioner Sharp, you know, it really varies by municipality, but for the most part, these deer are going to be euthanized within these city limits, whether you guys approve these issuance of these licenses or not, because currently right now they're getting all euthanized by city sharpshooters. So there's really not a cost to the department per se with the deer removal. Of course there is, you know, for example, if the city of Rapid City gets the issuance of 250 kill permits, so those tags, there's no cost for them. The city sharpshooters are killing them. If this was to move forward, at least there would be a small amount of revenue by utilizing recreational harvest.
Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, recommended change number two, just a little clarity on that. I believe just last year we had a petition and we approved to keep Sand Lake on as an October 1st start date, but I think after we had done that, we learned that we then created the only refuge that was of special anyways. And so this effectively would kind of help the refuge system to have one start date.
Mr. Chair. Commissioner Whitmire, I think, yeah, you exactly described that, and this is just a way to create complete uniformity across the state where archery deer hunting is allowed. Obviously, we still do have some unique restrictions in some of our park systems and whatnot, but as far as a non-park setting, this would essentially make things consistent statewide where archery deer hunting is allowed. Refuge systems are open to this, I think, from an R3 standpoint, and just the opportunity to have more days in the field to archery deer hunt is, we look at it as a good thing. So,
Mr. Bees.
Commissioner Bees, last I knew, Rapid City spent about $90,000 a year in their removal of deer within the city limits was their budget. Has the department ever looked into actually trapping and transporting those deer and resupplying our public lands that are deficient in where we don't have animals? You know, I grew up in the area watching Mutual Alma's Wild Kingdom. I don't know if any of you guys know that show, but Marlon Perkins, you know, biggest conservationist person there was for wildlife, did it all the time. Is there a possibility of looking into that?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Bees, another good question. From you know, the practice of capturing and translocating deer, to my knowledge, we have never really done much of that historically, or you know, within the last or the 20 years I've been at the department. There obviously are some concerns. I know. So right now we are testing all deer that are harvested through the city through their culling program. Unfortunately, the trend of those deer coming back positive for CWD is increasing. You know, so that's just one thing to keep in mind would be, could we potentially introduce a disease concern to an area where we would maybe not want to do that? There are some concerns with the survival of deer that are captured and transplanted. So there's some biological downsides of doing that. Obviously, it's been done in the past with lots of other species, and there are benefits of doing that if that management approach and decision has been thoughtfully planned out and laid out. But I don't know, Keith, if you have anything to add to that, or
sort of as you alluded to, we did. How many bighorn sheep did we go get in Canada? Commissioner Phillips went up and helped, and we all went to Deadwood and watched them release. There were 20-some, weren't there, I think?
Yeah, 20-some, and recently we worked with Badlands National Park to transplant some bighorn sheep from there to Custer State Park. So it is a method that we use on varying species for various needs, and I mean, it's something we can certainly revisit and talk about, Commissioner Bees.
Mr. Chair, just maybe one more thing to consider is that we have evaluated, you know, trap and transfer, and most recently, and Emmett Keyser may have to back me up here, but the city of Sioux Falls worked with our staff a little while back to take a look at that, and as Chad alluded to, the stress that you put on the animals, higher mortality when you kick those animals out, some of the disease concerns, the cost-benefit ratio really wasn't there, so we really, as a department, haven't moved down that path just because of those reasons.
Yes, Tom.
If I can, Mr. Chairman, Tom Kirsten, Wildlife Division Director. Back to Commissioner Whitmire's question about Sand Lake National Wildlife Refuge. I think a key important point to remember in that conversation is at a national level, there's an ongoing effort by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service through the refuge system to provide more opportunity on refuges from a hunting, angling standpoint. And a second key component of that is aligning with state wildlife agencies and the work that we're doing, management direction, season structures, those types of things. And so this recommendation bringing forward to adjust Sand Lake to coincide with the state season structure and date aligns right with that national ongoing effort through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in their refuge system. So I just want to make sure that you're all aware of that effort that's going on.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that clarity. I guess I know the parties behind the original petition are going to wonder why we freshly changed that. And so I thank you for bringing that clarity into record.
Questions or comments? Challenges to make Chad use his third helpline. Oh. We're ready for, you need a motion? Okay. Second?
Second.
Any more discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.